Well, turn with me, if you will, over to the book of John. We were there last week. We're going to be there again today. John chapter 16, where we're going to focus in on today. John 16, verses 5 through 15. John 16, verses 5 through 15. Let me ask you a question this morning as we look into God's Word today. What do you think of when you hear the word counselor? Maybe a lot of different things. I know that I told you one time my wife and I like to watch Perry Mason. I think of Perry Mason when I think of a counselor. He's a lawyer, you know. But there's a number of different things that you think of when you hear the word counselor. You might think of someone who gives advice and guidance with people who have psychological or mental illness. And there are a lot of great counselors out there that can help with different issues that people are going through. You might think of, like I, a lawyer who gives legal advice, who represents you in the court of law. You might think of a school administrator who helps you determine which classes you need in order to graduate with a certain degree. And so there's lots of different things that we can think of when we hear the word counselor. But in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is often referred to as a counselor. I mean, many times when we see the word counselor, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And such is the case with our passage this morning. The word counselor here is the Greek word parakletos or paraclete. The word literally means called to one's aid. So somebody who is called to your aid. The word is always used to describe someone who is an advocate, an intercessor, a consoler, a comforter, and a helper. And we know that the Holy Spirit is all those things. And so in our passage today, Jesus explains to his disciples about the work of the paraclete, the advisor, the counselor, the comforter, the helper. So let's take a look and see how the Holy Spirit functions to help us as witnesses for Christ. Let's take a look together. John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. These are the words of Jesus, and this is what he says. But now I am going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asked me, where are you going? Yet, because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from me from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So there's a couple of things here, guys, that I want to bring out from this scripture today. And number one is this. We're talking about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. And we're going to talk about it, how it specifically applies to us in being a witness for Christ, okay? So here's number one. The Holy Spirit empowers the church to be a witness. That's pretty much a given. That's pretty much something that we all understand. But let's look into it a little bit further here. The Holy Spirit empowers the church to be a witness. In this setting here, Jesus is continuing to prepare the disciples for his departure. This is in the upper room. He's with them. They're observing the Passover together. And we understand that for 3 years, he had been with them physically to protect them, to guide them, to teach them. And now he's about to leave them. Jesus understands about what is going to happen. He's going to leave, or he's going to be arrested. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. Ultimately, he's going to come back to life, and then he's going to ascend to the Father later on. So he's about to leave them, and Jesus wanted the disciples to understand why it was important for them that he returns to the Father. And the major reason is so that the Holy Spirit could come to them, to empower them, empower the church to be a witness. Now, we need to understand something very important here. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit comes to the church, comes to believers in Christ. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't have a purpose in the world, because he does. But he means to work through the church for his redemptive purpose. So the Holy Spirit comes to us to empower us to be a witness unto the world. And in order to do that, for the Holy Spirit to work, he's got to have a body to work through. That's why we're called the body of Christ, to accomplish the ministries that God has for us. This body is his church. It's not this building. It's not these chairs. It's the people. We are the church, and we understand that. And he uses us to glorify Christ, to witness to a lost world. The Holy Spirit works through people in whom he lives. Whether you realize it or not, when you become a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your life. He lives inside of you to empower you. That's us. We're the body of Christ. And when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, he came to the church. We're the church. And even though we weren't there in that significant moment, we are still the church, and the Holy Spirit has come to us. And in that setting, if you go back and read Acts chapter 2, in that setting when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, he empowered Peter to preach, and the preaching of the word brought conviction to those who heard. And the Bible says about 3,000 came to know Christ that day. But the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, he preached the word, the people's hearts were convicted, and they turned to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He empowered the church to be a witness. And the key word we have to focus in on here, guys, is in verse 8. The key word here is convict, found in verse, let's read it again. It says, when he comes, he will convict the world about sin. Maybe your translation says to reprove. In the Greek language, it was used as a legal word that means to bring to light or to expose, to refute, to convict, or convince. And so it literally could be translated pronouncing the verdict. Okay? The Holy Spirit of God, through the church, through his witnesses, is pronouncing the verdict to the world. Somebody said, I didn't come up with this, but somebody said this illustration, it really worked, really helps here, said, believers are the witnesses, the Holy Spirit is the prosecuting attorney, and the unsaved are the guilty prisoners. And so we have to understand something. The purpose of this indictment that sinners receive is not to condemn. The purpose is so that salvation can happen in the lives of people. The Holy Spirit, and Jesus talked about that, has come, and there is a role in the world in being under the conviction of sin. So the Holy Spirit does convict the world of one sin. That sin is unbelief. But again, however, it's the work of the Spirit through the witnesses of believers that expose the unbelief of the lost world. If you will, turn over to Acts 1. It's just a couple of pages over, perhaps, in your Bible. Acts chapter 1. Again, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit works through the body of Christ. Look at verse 8. A very familiar verse. Acts 1:8. But you will receive the power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you, the church, will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We were talking about this. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them, and they rested on each one of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them the ability for speech. So again, it was the Holy Spirit coming upon the church, them proclaiming the things of God, and people coming under conviction. In Acts chapter 8, the story of Philip is a phenomenal story. It was the Holy Spirit that told Philip to go to the Ethiopian eunuch. And after he did, Philip explained what the passage was that he was reading. And it was at that time the Ethiopian became a follower of Christ. Again, it was the Spirit of God working in Philip to say, go to this place because there's one that needs to hear. And of course, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. But how can they call on him if they have not believed him? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. It's the Spirit of God working through the church that brings the nations under conviction. We need to understand one more thing. Turn back over to John, but turn back all the way over to John chapter 3. Look at verses 18 through 21 there. This is just after the most famous Bible verse ever, John 3:16. But we need to be reminded that John chapter 3, verses 8 through 21, that unbelief already condemns sinners, not the committing of individual sins. Look at what it says there. In verse 18, anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that the works may be shown to be accomplished by God. You know what that tells me as we think about God using the body of Christ? As we're a witness, we proclaim the things of God, people come under the conviction, things like that. There are a lot of people that can clean their lives up. And perhaps we've seen it. They can quit all their bad habits, clean their lives up, do all these good things, and still not be a follower of Christ. And still die and be eternally separate from God. That's why it's important that we come into the role that we have been given to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This morning I had an opportunity to be with the teenagers downstairs, and I showed them a video that some of them had seen before, but it's a video about Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot and several colleagues went to an unreached people group in Ecuador, felt that God had called them there, began to build a relationship with these people and began to have some friendly interaction with them. This tribe had been very hostile toward outsiders and had killed several people that had tried to make contact with them. But here finally they were beginning to see some results of their giving gifts and building relationships and things, and even one of the tribe members asked to be flown around in their plane, and it seemed like everything was going well, but this hostile tribe converted back to their same thing of being fearful. And one day Jim Elliot and several of his colleagues, as they were trying further to build relationships with this unreached people group, they were all speared to death. Every one of them was killed on that beach. But still, the Spirit of God was working through these individuals and their families. And in fact, later on, several of these men who died, their wives, came back to that same village. And as they shared the witness of Christ, as they testified about the things of God and being able to forgive people, they began to understand, you know what? These missionaries were not bad people. They weren't here to hurt us. They were here to show us love. And they came under conviction. And they gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. It was through the testimony of believers in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God working through individuals. And that's the bottom line. Witnessing is a very serious responsibility. That's why we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit as we witness for Christ. And listen, guys, every one of us, God has given a supernatural resource to be a witness for Him. We've talked about it already. The foundation of witnessing is not money. It's not having a charismatic personality or using some specific method of sharing the gospel. The power or the foundation of witnessing is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, you need money. You need people to be willing to do it. But the foundation, the bottom foundation of witnessing is the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's why every one of us, no matter how old we are, no matter where we are in our spiritual walk, whether you're a new believer or been a believer in Christ for many, many years, that's why every one of us can be a witness, a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Because every Christian has available to him or her the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. And if you have the power of God, you don't need anything else. That's what you need. So Jesus is saying, if I don't leave, then this empowerment is not going to come upon you. And basically, he's saying this Holy Spirit that's coming, this counselor that's coming, will empower you, my brothers, and ultimately us, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So that's one thing about witnessing and the Holy Spirit. The second thing that we want to bring out, verses 12 through 15, is that the Holy Spirit teaches the church to be a witness. So he empowers us to be a witness. Secondly, he teaches us to be a witness. Now, what does a teacher do? We have several teachers in here. A teacher reveals truth, right? That's their job, to impart truth to other people. And the same is true of the Holy Spirit. He reveals truth to us. He reveals the things of God to us. He teaches us the truths that we need to know in order to be his witness. But where do we find this truth? Okay, if he teaches us, where do we find this truth? Well, most importantly, we find it from God's word. I mean, it's just as easy as that. If you want to know, if you want the Spirit of God to speak to you, just read the Bible. Because the Spirit of God will speak to you through his word. And that's why we need to understand his God word. We need to understand something very important. The work of the Spirit is never separated from Jesus or the word of God. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 26? Let's take a look at it. Let's just back up a little bit from chapter 16. Look what he says in verse 26 there. I think I wrote the wrong reference down. I'm not even sure what I was putting down there. Oh, there it is, verse 26. Man, I'm going crazy here. Okay. It seemed like it was ending with verse 25. I could have sworn there was a verse 26 there. Here it is right here. Okay, I do need a vacation. That's right. Okay, verse 26. I'm not going crazy. When the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Now, I want you to notice something there. There are sometimes people that claim that the Spirit of God led them to do something that might be contrary to what God's word says. But that's not what Jesus says there. He said, the Spirit of God is going to testify about God. It's going to testify about the things about me. And so the Holy Spirit of God, God's word, is not going to help us testify about something that is not in God's word. And there are a lot of people, and these are people that you need to steer clear of. And we see a lot of these guys on TV that claim to have these messages from God. You know, these. And I'm not saying that a pastor can't have a message from God to impart to his people. But when they start talking about things that are contrary to God's word, that's when you need to take notice. Because Jesus doesn't work like that. People who claim that the Spirit of God led them to do something contrary to the example of Christ or the teaching of the Word are mistaken, they're misinformed, and this is something that happens all the time today. The Holy Spirit teaches us the things of God. He teaches us about to the church so that we can be a witness. And if the job of the Holy Spirit is to inform us of God's truth, then we need to know what God's Word says. And here's the thing, guys. We don't study the Word of God to win Bible trivia. I like Bible trivia. It's fun. We don't study the Word of God to win Bible trivia or to argue religion with people or to show off our grasp of spiritual things. We study the Word of God to see Jesus Christ and to know Him better and to glorify Him with our lives. And as His witnesses, the Holy Spirit uses the Word He has taught us, and we share Jesus Christ with the lost. It's our job to witness. It's the Spirit's job to convict. And we know the truth through the Word of God. The fact that the Holy Spirit guides us into the truth doesn't mean we learn God's word through osmosis either. Okay, we can't just lay it on our pillow at night and put our head on it and think that God's word's going to somehow evaporate through the membranes of our head and get into our brain. We need to actually study God's word. We have to spend time doing it. It takes time. A few years ago, Fox News published an article asking the question, why are Christians so biblically illiterate? And the article noted that 80% of all Americans do believe that the Bible is God's word. However, this attitude frequently does not change actions towards reading it. We need to understand, and this report said, the Bible remains the world's most published and translated book. And they said the problem for Americans is not access, but engagement. They said that the average American owns three Bibles. Three. Most people can access their preferred version of the Bible from any smartphone or tablet or anything like that. There's been endless amounts of money that have been spent on commentaries and things like that. But despite having access to the Scriptures, this report said that only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Over 40% of the people attending only read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. And they said almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read the Bible. Essentially the same number who read it every day. And so, guys, here's the thing. Not reading Scripture results in not knowing it. If you don't read it and you don't study it, you're not going to know it. And combined with people who are attending church less and less, among American evangelicals, it's unsurprising to see that Christians do not know the very basic Bible teachings. So study God's Word. Study His Word. As we study God's Word, the Spirit of God teaches us what we need to know in order to be a bold witness for Christ. And you can have confidence. I'm not saying you're going to know all the answers. There are going to be people that ask you questions that are going to stump you sometimes. And you're just going to have to say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. But here's what I do know. Jesus Christ radically changed my life. This is who I was, and this is who I am now. And He came into my life in a time where I realized my lostness, and I put my faith and trust in Him. And He came in and radically changed my life, and now I have this joy and peace in my life, even in the midst of difficult times, that God has given me joy and peace. And I can live my life with confidence, knowing that I belong to Him, that one day when I die, I'm going to be with Him forever. I know that when I die, there are a lot of people say, well, I hope I make it to heaven. I won't know until I get there, but we can know for sure. Jesus said, I've written these things that you might know that you have eternal life. And so the Spirit of God teaches us, if we know those things, if we study God's Word, if we know what God's Word says, then we can be a better witness for Christ. Otherwise, we're going to be weak and ineffective. So the Spirit of God teaches us what we need to know in order to be a witness. I read a story this past week about a gentleman by the name of Leighton Ford. Perhaps you've heard of him. And he wrote a book several years ago entitled Good News for Sharing. And he was telling about a story of, he He was pretty good friends with Billy Graham. He said, I was speaking at an open-air crusade in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Billy Graham was to speak the next night and arrived a day early. And he came into this arena. He came incognito and sat down in the grass near the rear of the crowd because he was wearing a hat and dark glasses and nobody recognized him. And directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening intently to my presentation. So Leighton Ford was preaching that night. And when I invited people to come forward as an open sign of commitment, Billy decided to do a little bit of overt personal evangelism as he was dressed up incognito. And he tapped the man on the shoulder and he asked, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'd be glad to walk down with you if you want to. And the old man looked at him, looked him up and down, thought it over for a moment, and then he said, no, I think I'll just wait till the big gun comes tomorrow night. Because Billy Graham was going to speak tomorrow night, you know. He said, Billy and I have had several good chuckles over that incident. Unfortunately, it underlines how in the minds of many people, evangelism is the task of big guns, not the little shots. And guys, let me just say, if you are a Christian, you are a witness. You may not be a big gun. You may just be a little shot. But either way, you are a witness for Christ. You might be a bad witness, but you're a witness either nonetheless. But you are one. And so, guys, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to empower us as we witness to a lost world in need of Jesus. Guys, here's the thing, and the Great Commission confirms it. Jesus has not left us alone. That's the reason he told disciples, listen, if I don't go away, the counselor is not going to be able to come to you. That's why he told his disciples, you're going to do even greater things than I did when I'm gone. It's hard to imagine doing greater things than Jesus. But think about what the church has accomplished through its history. Think about what these men did, many of them giving their lives for the cause of Christ, preaching the gospel, preaching the risen Jesus Christ, and people coming to know Christ. Go and read, in fact, in January, I'm going to start preaching through the book of Acts. We're going to go through it verse by verse, lesson by lesson. And I know a lot of you have studied the book of Acts, but I think this is something that the Lord really wants me to share, and we're going to go through it together. As we go through it, you're going to see how the church empowered the Holy Spirit empowered the church to be a witness. And these men who were untrained and ordinary did great things for Christ because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's you and me. We're ordinary. We're not a big gun like Billy Graham. We're little shots. But God wants to use the little shots like you and me. So don't sell yourself short. The same Holy Spirit that empowered Billy Graham to speak to millions of people worldwide lives inside of you and me. And he gives us just the same power that he gave Billy Graham. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Amen? That's power. And he wants to use us. That's what Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit's coming. Let him empower you. Let him teach you. So you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you today for this wonderful passage of Scripture that Jesus teaches us today. Father, we understand the role and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we may not even understand everything there is to know about the Spirit of God. But Lord, we do know that your Spirit lives inside of us, gives us the power to be the witnesses that you want us to be. You've not left us alone. You've not told us to go fend for ourselves. Your Spirit came, your Spirit lives inside of us and helps us to do what you've called us to do. Father, we thank you for that. And I pray that we would live in it and not ignore it. Father, I can't think of any other religion that has promised the Spirit of their Creator to live inside of their people. But Father, that's exactly what you've done for us. Your Spirit lives inside of us. Empower us today to be a bold witness for Christ. And we ask all this in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen. Well, perhaps the Lord has spoken to you today about a decision that you need to make. Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment. It's an opportunity for you to get your heart right before the Lord. And so I just say, do it. Get your heart right with Him. And let Him speak into your life. Pour your heart out to Him today. Beyond that, if you ever need to get in touch with us, get in touch with us. We'll get the help that you need. We'll guide you through these next steps in your life. But whatever the Lord is calling you to do today, I pray that you'd be obedient to Him. Let's stand together as Andrew leads us. You make your decision for Christ today.